Saturday with Conor Mongan on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hi, welcome back. Still here with me in studio are Labour Party TD Éoin Oíreadán and Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin. And we're joined also from Galway by Fine Gael Minister of State Hildegard Nocton. Now, the Dáil resumes on Tuesday, and once the business of the new Taoiseach is done, one of the items expected to be the subject of debate, possibly heated debate in the coming weeks, will be the EU Asylum and Migration Pact. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee secured Cabinet approval to push for Ireland to opt into the pact, but it's not a done deal until it's approved by both houses of the Oireachtas. Government says opting in will ensure an effective asylum and return procedure whilst also protecting the interests of the most vulnerable who arrive here seeking international protection. But there are many critics of the pact, and many who say it will result in thousands of asylum seekers, including children, being held in detention centres on borders and at points of entry. Catherine Woolard is Secretary General of the European Council on Refugees and Exiles. She's been telling me about her concerns about this agreement.
Yes, I would say, first of all, that the general messages about the pact are overselling what it may bring to Europe. And then in addition, we have a number of concerns which are based on the fact that it will actually reduce protection standards for those seeking international protection in Europe. And that's at a time when actually the majority of people arriving in Europe do have protection needs. They are in need of international protection, that it's going to be more difficult for them to access protection and to be recognised as in need of protection. We would question whether all the objectives of the pact will be met. So there's been a lot of emphasis on so-called secondary movement, onward movement within the EU. That's only going to change if there is a significant improvement in the conditions in the countries at the external borders. So that becomes a question of how the new laws will be implemented. In and of themselves, they won't change that fact of people moving on.
The Asylum and Migration Pact, do you believe that it will establish a certain minimum standard for reception centres for people seeking international protection? Is that one of the things that may be a positive out of this?
Yes, and indeed it's an interesting question, because those standards already existed in EU law, and one of the problems was a lack of compliance with the standards. So even though we're very critical of these reforms because they reduce protection standards, as I mentioned, at the same time, this is an opportunity to return to the questions of compliance.
So at the moment in Ireland, there are over 1,600 asylum seekers who have not been made offers of accommodation. Hundreds of them are being accommodated in tents at the moment, some in very ad hoc conditions. If this Asylum and Migration Pact was transposed into Irish law, as now seems likely, what consequences would there be for Ireland for allowing a situation like this to pertain?
So what we hope is that with the end of reforming, there should then be a focus on compliance, which means that it won't be accepted and won't be acceptable that any member state doesn't comply with its obligations, including the ones you just mentioned on reception. We actually have a similar situation here in Belgium, where the government is ignoring thousands of court decisions that instruct it to offer reception and to meet its reception obligations. Again, people, the consequence of it not doing so is the same as in Ireland, that people are sleeping on the streets and in situations of extreme destitution, which is suffering for them but also causes political tensions. It depends not just on the change in the law. It's really a question of the role of the EU and that switch of attention, resources, European Commission action to focus on making member states to respect the law with all the tools that are available to do that.
The political call coming from a number of quarters in Europe to slow the flow of migrants, for the European Union to be more discerning between economic migrants and people seeking international protections. What are the proposals in this pact to have stronger European borders, and what's your view of those proposals?
So some of the proposal or some of the changes that we're most concerned about involve an expanded use of border procedures, whereby people are kept in a restricted centres or even in detention, and where their asylum applications are heard in a border procedure, which tends to be a substandard, second-rate asylum procedure. The idea of those measures is partly to act as a deterrent. In that sense, we don't think this will work at all. People are coming to seek protection in Europe because there are record numbers of forcibly displaced people globally. So I think the suggestion or the belief among politicians that the pact or any other kind of measure it takes will stop people coming is naive, because the context is not doesn't lend itself to that.
In terms of the processing times and criteria for assessing people's applications, is greater clarity provided under what's proposed in this pact?
Yes, there are. One of the features of the pact is shorter deadlines for the processing of asylum applications. Now, that there are pros and cons to that approach. It means that people get certainty sooner and that decisions should be made sooner. As I mentioned, most people arriving do have protection needs. So if they're able to get a decision earlier, that can lead to more rapid integration and a chance for them to be living an independent life and dignity at an earlier point. On the other hand, there's also very short deadlines for submission of documents by applicants, for applicants to prepare their asylum application, and in particular for applicants to make an appeal if they have a negative decision in the first instance. In any legal process, the process is not over until the remedies have been used, until the appeals have been heard and so on. And in the asylum context, about one third of cases that go to appeal will receive protection at that second instance stage, because there are complex facts or something that wasn't taken into account at first instance, because mistakes are made at first instance. So actually shortening deadlines in that sense may put people at risk. So there's two sides to that attempt to accelerate processes.
And finally then, the prospect has been raised, or the fear has been raised, about children ending up in detention as a result of this pact. Where in this pact does that danger arise, and how likely is that in your view?
Unfortunately, in one of the central pieces of legislation on asylum procedures, that law will allow for the detention of children. So that is something that we criticised from the beginning, that remains a major concern. Our understanding, and most courts' understanding of international law, is that it precludes the detention of children.
And that was Catherine Woolard, Secretary General of the European Council on Refugees and Exiles, speaking to me there. Now, still with me are Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin, Éan Oirirdheann of the Labour Party, and Hildegard Nochtain, a junior minister on Fine Gael TD, joining us from Galway. Hildegard Nochtain, you've heard Catherine Woolard outline some of her concerns about this EU asylum and migration pact. Do you share any of them?
I think this pact is the right approach that's been taken by Ireland. We have two approaches here to immigration: one, that it's fair, and the other, that it's firm. And by fair, I mean that those who are in genuine need of international protection, they need to get it, and those who are, you know, that they receive it quickly, but those who are not entitled to it are removed from the system quickly too. So you cannot deal with immigration. No country can deal with immigration on their own. So by joining this pact, it makes sure that we can accelerate the processing time, which we're already doing, by the way. Minister Helen McEntee, since 2022, has reduced the time that people coming from safe countries, their applications are dealt with. It's now made in around 60 days. That used to take a number of years. But this is an opportunity now for Ireland to redesign the system for granting protection in line with the European Common Standard.
Sure.
So that's a good thing.
They're the selling points as you see them. But Catherine Woolard has outlined a number of concerns there. One of them is the detention of children. Do you share that concern?
Yeah, and children are, even at the moment, when they come into the state, there will be enhanced protections on children and also combating child trafficking, which is a reality in Ireland, and not just in Ireland, in other countries, EU countries across Europe. So yes, to answer your question, all of these issues has to be negotiated. This will come into place in 2026. So all of these areas will have to work through. But by Ireland not opting into this, would be a mistake, and there is no part of this pact that would be negative for Ireland. I don't think there's any part of this that we would like to leave out.
Okay, well, just Catherine Woolard has just outlined a number of things she thinks are negative. One of them is the detention of children. There is also the issue, presumably, of fines that will be implemented if Ireland doesn't bring its reception standards up to scratch. But let's just stay on that issue of the detention of children. What's not negative about that?
Well, if children are coming into the state right now, we have a duty, absolutely a duty, to make sure that they're safeguarded, that those protections are in place. And I know Ireland and our reputation, we will continue to do that. Okay, and as I say, this pact is going to be negotiated over the next 2 years. And if there are any concerns that arise, I know that Ireland will be the lead, will take a lead role in relation to ensuring that we protect children coming into the state. Yeah. We will have a duty.
Just for the benefit of listeners, unaccompanied minors, it's not suggested under this pact that they would be in detention, but children who are arriving with their families would face detention. So I suppose the difference now is people arrive into the direct provision system or are accommodated in emergency accommodation. This is a new departure for detention. Do you have any concerns about that?
We need to be able to manage this. We're in a changed world now. We have wars breaking out within Europe, right across the world. This is not just a problem for Ireland. We have people moving, migrating because of climate change, and this is happening. And we need to make sure that we are not on our own dealing with immigration coming into the country. Okay. So this actually accelerates the process, makes it more efficient, puts the safeguards in place. And one particular problem that Ireland has is around secondary movement. That's where immigrants come in through another EU country
and then come to
Ireland afterwards.
Okay, this pact will help us hugely in relation to that. Sure, we'll come back to that in a moment. Matt Carthy, this asylum and migration pact that's going to be discussed next week. How will Sinn Féin be viewing it? Do you think there are any elements of it that Sinn Féin would favour or any elements of it that Sinn Féin would like to see the state opt into?
So, and I think it's important that you clarified that this is actually 7 separate regulations that will come in the first instance. Ireland is one of only 2 states that has the option of opting out. And in our view, we should absolutely be utilising that option across most of those areas. In other words, those areas that don't require coordination among EU states. There are 2 regulations that do. The one that allows member states to return asylum seekers to the original state in which they applied, and the second in which involves sharing of data, fingerprinting information and the likes.
You support those,
do you think? Ireland should sign into those 2. In respect of each of the other regulations, there is nothing contained within them that can't be implemented by an Irish government within domestic legislation and regulation. But by signing up to them, you can't then opt out again. Once you've opted in, you can't opt out. And it will tie the hands of future governments to be agile. Because at the base of all of this, this is what we need to recognise. Government have made an absolute mess of the asylum system. And I need to say because the evidence of that is the fact that there are, in the first instance, 1,600 human beings sleeping on the streets of Dublin and other towns and villages. That there are hotels and other essential amenities, as local communities would see them, have been removed out of the system.
Okay,
there are a small number of private operators who are making an absolute fortune on the back of the crisis the government created, and local communities have been left to pick up the pieces, which is fair enough.
But I do want to ask you about what you're prepared to opt into, which is returning people to the countries which they had originally, which is the Dublin Convention at the moment, which is with the system that currently pertains at the moment. Under the proposals in this, what's been looked at is that Ireland would make solidarity payments to frontline countries like Italy, Greece, Spain, whichever country that migrants arrive first in, to have their decision made, and that money would be invested in effect in centres where they would be accommodated. These solidarity payments would be made. That's the system you'd like to opt into, is it?
What we're saying is, of course, we have to have a system that that recognises the reality in Ireland, that we have a capacity issue. We cannot deal with the numbers of people who are currently coming. And the evidence of that, as I say, fact that there are 1,500 more.
What's the difference of paying Italy or Greece to take them and Ireland using that money to invest in accommodation centres here?
Because clearly we haven't been able to do that, and the government will be able to set out the challenges they've faced.
But you've outlined a number of ways that you would solve Ireland's housing solutions. You clearly back your own ambition to do that. So with this money, could Sinn Féin build a functioning asylum system where it could be done here rather than giving that money to Greece or Italy or Spain?
As I say, there are a number of areas that we can only operate on a transnational level. In other words, we need to operate in coordination with EU's member states. This is one of the regulations that we need to do that in order to be able to do that effectively. The second one is in relation to the sharing of information. But in relation to the standards and to the facilities that are in place, and this is important to say, if these regulations were in place today, if the Irish government opted in, we would still have people seeking
these obligations
the
already
we would
do.
Still have communities completely antagonised by the government approach. Okay, the only difference would be subjected to substantial fines potentially from the European Commission for not being able to adhere to what this government have signed up to.
Ireland has already signed up to this is an important point to make, Colin, because
it also prevents future governments from agilely dealing with future challenges as they present.
You heard from Catherine Woolard there. She has a particular view of the Asylum and Migration Pact. She raised a number of concerns there. Do you share any of them?
I do. I have to say I'm depressed listening to Matt, because it's quite clear that Sinn Féin are continuing down this road of playing the anti-immigration card. I think your rhetoric...
Well, then you obviously didn't hear...
No, I did. Well, I'm looking at the Sinn Féin statement here issued last week, and the very first line, Sinn Féin are opposed to open borders.
Yeah, same as in our 2020 manifesto.
Yeah, that's a classic far-right dog whistle. No. It is a classic far-right dog whistle. And I've been watching Sinn Féin over the last period of time.
But just...
No, Colin, I let you back in on that. This is important.
I do share
concerns, as have been mentioned. I also share the fact that the EU seems to be silent on the issues as to why people are trying to enter the EU in the first place, climate change and political instability, etc., in countries that we have relationships with.
How will you vote on this pact next week?
We are broadly in favour of this pact, and we broadly believe that Ireland should opt in. But obviously, we are concerned about the human rights implications of this, right? Sinn Féin seems to be concerned with something else. And I can't find in your statement during the week any indication of solidarity or a humanitarian approach to the individual asylum seeker or refugee.
It's very clear.
You made a couple of charges there.
We're only going to have one voice. Excuse me, Colin.
Do you want me to pull the faders down with the sound operator and silence you both? We're going to have one voice at a time here. You've made a charge, Matt Carthy. I'm going to facilitate. No, I asked you a question about your position on the pact.
Yeah, but I think it's important about the nature of the... Hold on, Colin. It's important about the nature of the immigration debate that we're going to have.
I'm not going to argue about this. I'm just going to get Matt Carthy's response.
No, your
party, as you say, it's been your position to say that since 2020 you don't believe in open borders. Who does?
Well, I'm saying quite clearly that we don't. That we want a fair, efficient and effective migration
system. Who does believe in open
borders?
Well,
let me say this. Lots of people online, nasty actors, try and portray Sinn Féin as in somehow supporting open borders. When what we want is a fair, efficient and effective migration system, which isn't currently in place.
So your policy has been influenced by nasty comments online, is it?
Absolutely not.
Just stay quiet for a moment until we get Matt Carthy's answers.
Absolutely not. The point I was making is there is nothing new in what Sinn Féin are saying. We want a system that works.
No, but I
asked
you specifically about... But the open borders thing, you said you needed to make it explicit in response to people who are making nasty comments online.
I am saying it is nothing new from us. We have uttered those words
Who is in favour of open borders?
What I am outlining is Sinn Féin's position. I'm not here to talk about other people's positions, other than to say that other people's positions have left us in the point where we have an asylum system that is broken. Sinn Féin are putting forward the proposals that we believe are required to fix it. And if Aon wants to go down some road that I don't actually know what he's trying to do, rather than actually discuss the propositions that have been put forward that actually address the situation as it currently is, where we have people sleeping in the street in the first sentence, and where we have communities deprived of essential
amenities.
You've made that point.
I want to go back to Hildegard Knocken, because she talked about secondary movement. Catherine Woolard says in her analysis of it that unless there's substantial investment in frontline countries, the conditions in those frontline countries will be so bad that secondary movement will happen anyway. And that if you look at the figures from 2023, 53% of all people seeking international protection in the European Union were successful, and a further third on appeal were successful. So the idea that if that is the message to the public, that a more efficient system will result in more people failing in seeking international protection, they're being sold a pup, aren't they?
No, I think what this pact does, just in relation to the secondary movement, at the moment, just to explain how it works, if somebody comes here into Ireland who was in another European country, at the moment, we request that other country to take them back. Under this pact, if we opt into this, it is then a mandatory notification. They have to accept them. That's if other countries opt in to this pact. What this whole thing is going to do is make it more efficient. People coming in here with false documents are cross borders illegally, that all of those processes will be accelerated. Those coming from safe countries, all of those applications, again, will be,
Based on the current figures, And the numbers of people arriving seeking international protection are going up, but around 70% of people are successful in applying for international protection based on the figures in 2023. Are you really telling the public that those numbers are going to go down significantly as a result of signing up to this pact?
Well, the fact of our approach is that if somebody is entitled to asylum here, we are saying, yes, if you have a genuine need, your application will be processed quickly and you will get a result, an answer on that. If you've come in here illegally, it will be processed quickly as well and you will be told to leave.
Right.
And by entering...
By how much will the 13,000 per annum drop under this pact?
That's a bizarre question, because the world, there's so many geopolitical issues at the moment in relation to wars, famine. We will have an influx of people coming across this continent. That is why when I listen to Sinn Féin, they're flip-flopping again. They're trying to be populist. They're trying to say they want to cherry-pick part of this pact. What we need to do is make sure we have a robust system at an EU level where we help those who are in genuine need and those who are illegally coming into this country.
None of the listeners, that we're not going to do this again, none of the listeners can hear any of the points that are being made if people are going to talk over each other. So we're not going to do that again. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and I'm going to look at the issue of the cost of a united Ireland after this.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.